We have had a wonderful day in worshiping our Lord today. We're so thankful for the one who obeyed the gospel this morning. That is always a wonderful sight to behold and something joyously to be a part of. We rejoice with the family, and we're certainly thankful for Madison's decision, for all those who have done likewise. Tonight, we want to talk about dealing with disagreement. Our Lord was probably the most, he experienced a great deal of disagreement in his life. The Bible actually describes Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There is no doubt that part of that grief had to do with his constant interaction with those who opposed him. Just seeing them come on a daily basis and watching them as they attempted to trick him, to manipulate, to catch him in some. Has anybody ever done you like that? Yes, no, maybe so? Yes? It is very challenging when you know people are out to get you. It is very challenging to deal, and our Lord must have dealt with that. To just see those men coming, to watch and listen to them tempt him again and again and again, only to try to catch him into some mistake so that they could have cause, had to be a challenge. The Apostle Paul no doubt dealt with disagreement in his life on a personal basis. The Jews were out to get him. He and Barnabas had such a sharp contention, they separated and no longer traveled together, at least for a while. You have probably struggled on occasion with disagreement yourself, with those who have disagreed with you, and sometimes it's an ongoing, continual thing. I know husbands and wives don't disagree with each other at all. Sure they don't. Well, parents and children, and on it goes. Tonight, what we want to do is take a very practical look at dealing with disagreement. Our world, again, has it wrong. They are so often contrary to the God of heaven and their conclusions. And so tonight, we want to talk about this, and we want to focus on it. Point number one, or at least introductory to the point, is this. First of all, we want to share some truths about disagreement. We want to be clear from the very outset. As we consider disagreement, we should know this. You have a right to disagree. There's nothing I say this evening intended to draw the conclusion, and therefore disagreement is wrong. And therefore you cannot disagree. That's not the point at all. In fact, we have a right to disagree, and it's very likely we will, from time to time, have disagreements one with another. But then we deal with these final two truths as well. Our actions differ depending on the context in which we find ourselves disagreeing. At least biblically, they should. That we can disagree is not a question. But our actions after we disagree actually change. Those actions have to be different based on the context in which we find ourselves disagreeing. We'll explain that going forward, but let me say this. God will hold us accountable for our actions. And so even if you disagree, what you do next, God will hold you accountable for that. Even if you had a right to disagree, God will hold you accountable for what you did in light of your disagreement. That will disagree. Well, I don't think there's any good question about that. People are going to disagree with each other. But what we do after we disagree, God is going to hold us accountable for that. With that in mind, let me address, first of all, some misunderstandings about disagreement. Again, I think our world, in its attempt to just be in opposition to God, I don't have a better way to say it, or maybe it's just human wisdom. Whatever the case, they hijack words and attempt to change them, and they create in our minds things that just aren't true. And before you know it, you're assuming things and acting out just because somebody disagreed with you. And so there are some misunderstandings about disagreement. Number one, disagreement does not mean or indicate the following. It does not mean or indicate the following. Disagreement does not mean offense was intended. Our culture's position is this: all disagreement is an assessment of somebody's heart or their motives. The fact that you disagree with me means you think I meant you harm. That's why you disagreed. You misread my intentions. You thought I meant to do you an injury. And when you thought that, you disagreed with me. The truth of the matter is, one's motives could be purer than the driven snow. And still, people could disagree with your actions and your thoughts and your words. Has nothing to do with your motives. People can still disagree. But our culture wants us to believe that the moment you disagree, that means you are questioning me and my motives. Well, it doesn't mean that at all. It certainly could mean that, but it's not a prerequisite. Doesn't mean that inherently. Secondly, if offense wasn't intended, then our culture says the only reason you disagree is because offense was taken. You were offended. That's why you disagree. You only disagree because you were offended. While this is closely connected to the first point, it doesn't ring true. You only disagree because you thought I meant you harm. You only disagree because you were offended. Friends, family, disagreement is not an indication of being offended. You can disagree with people and never be offended in any way, shape, or form by what they did. You can just hear what they had to say and you can say, I disagree with that. You can see what they did and you say, well, I don't think that was right. I disagree with that. Doesn't mean I was offended. Doesn't mean you did me wrong. Doesn't mean I'm even accusing you of wrong. It simply means I disagree. You have every right to do that. And this certainly does not mean that. But then thirdly, disagreement does not indicate ignorance. How many times have you thought somebody disagreed because they didn't understand? Our culture says that's the reason you didn't agree. It's simply because you don't understand. So what I'll do is I'll explain it to you clearer. In fact, I might insult you by talking slower. But I know that the only reason you disagree with me is because you don't yet understand. And so it becomes my job to make you understand and get it clearer and offer you more explanation. And thereby, as soon as you come to an understanding, you know what will happen? You will suddenly agree with me. Friends, family, disagreement is not an indication of ignorance. In fact, it's much more likely the opposite is true. It is much more likely that I understand precisely what you're saying and I disagree with it. Understanding is probably more likely a prerequisite to disagreement. I heard you. I processed it. I understood it. I checked the implications of it. I disagree with it. It's not an indication of ignorance. It is because we think it is that when somebody disagrees, our first action is to re-explain, but use different words. Oh, you just didn't understand what I said. Let me say it again. No, no, I understood it. Well, no, you couldn't get it, so let me give it to you this way. Let me tell you a story. That'll help you. Let me give you a story. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm saying. Listen, you can clear this up as clear as you want. In fact, you don't have to clear it anymore. I got it. And I disagree with it. I got everything you said. I heard it all exactly. And I still disagree. It is precisely because I understand that I disagree. Disagreement is not an indication of ignorance. But then next, disagreement is not an indication of indifference. Again, our culture, you don't care. That's why you disagree. To our culture, caring equals agreement. To our culture, love equals permission. And since you disagree, that means you are an uncaring individual. You are indifferent to the plight. Or you don't love me. Because if you love me, you let me. Well, our culture has it wrong. Neither of these are true. And again, I would urge you, it is the exact opposite. It is precisely because I care that I disagree. It is precisely and patently because I love you that I said no. It is not an indication of indifference. You let our culture tell it. And pretty soon, everybody who disagrees with you doesn't love you. You let our culture tell you, and everybody who disagrees with you is indifferent to you. Friends, family, it's just not true. But then next, closely connected, it means you're angry. You must be angry with me. Why am I angry at you? Because you disagree with me. Or maybe you're just rude because you disagreed with me. You only disagree because you're upset. Well, that's not the only reason people disagree about things. Now, could a person be upset and then be, well, yeah, that's possible, but it's certainly not an indication of it. You only disagree because you're rude. How many children here, don't raise your hand. How many children in here have the meanest parents in the world? Every person in here at one time probably thought, where did they get this one from? Because wherever parents come from, they didn't come from that land. Parents come from happy land, but not mine. They kicked my parents a lot, apparently, because they're awful mean to me. Every other parent says yes. Every other parent says go. Every other parent says here. But mine looks for opportunities to say no. I mean, searches for it. Ask me 476 questions. And if I answer every one of them right on that 477th, they got me. And at last, they are happy to go to their room, kicking and jumping that they were able to say no. They're just rude and mean people, these parents. Disagreement is not an indication of rudeness. You know, our world thinks God is rude. Our world thinks God is mean. I'm talking about the God of heaven. You know, there are actually people who have developed entire theories, doctrines, and everything so as to make the God of the Old Testament different than the God of the New Testament. Because in their mind, the God of the Old Testament is mean. He was so judgmental. He was so vindictive. He just killed. You know, when you read Uzzah touching the ark and then dying in 2 Kings 5. No, 2 Kings 6. Look up. Just read the Kings. Marshall Keeby used to say this. When you read Uzzah touching the ark and dying in the Old Testament, how does that differ from Ananias and Sapphira dying in Acts 5 after the cross of Christ? How's that different? You mean to tell me that's a different God? No, same God. But our world thinks God is rude and mean because he judges. People can disagree. It has nothing to do with whether or not they're angry or actions. Well, in this next section, let's talk about some areas of disagreement. I said we can disagree, but our actions then have to be different based on the area in which we are disagreeing. If you haven't taken notes up to this point, why don't you figure out some way to take some so you can take this with you beyond these slides? Because you're going to go out of here and disagree with people. And then what you do next could very well be the wrong action, even though you had a right to disagree. The Bible is going to hold us accountable, God will, for our actions after the disagreements occur. There are at least three areas where you and I can disagree, but then our actions cannot be the same in every one of those areas. In fact, God will hold us to some very different actions. Look at the first area with me. You can disagree over scruples and opinions. I say slash opinions because that's not the same thing. I want you to understand that. In fact, the word opinions really doesn't even warrant its place on that screen. But we're more accustomed to the word opinion. But opinion has to do with my favorite color is blue, my favorite color is red. I think Alabama is better. I think Auburn is better. I think Notre Dame. I think Georgia. That's opinion. And when it comes to opinions, you can't even feel so strongly about those matters that either person thinks wrong has been done. The word opinion doesn't even rise to the level of scruple. The idea of a scruple is much stronger because when you use the word scruple, you're talking about a conviction about something that if you do it, you'll sin. This is a matter of indifference. This is a matter you can still have disagreement about. But the actions that God gives with regards to this, found in Romans chapter 14. You start to make your way through this chapter and you can disagree. You sure can, but we're not talking about opinions here. Which again means, insofar as opinions go, please leave those way, way, way down on the line. And be willing to let somebody believe what they believe by way of opinion and let it go before you spend two words on it. Scruples, however, are different. The subject matter in Romans chapter 14, the individuals involved, they believe that if they do this particular thing, they will sin against God. Even when that's the case, you can disagree. But when you disagree about those matters, God holds you to certain actions to take about disagreeing over scruples. Romans chapter 14, verse number 1 says, him that is weak in the faith, the first thing it says is receive. When it comes to disagreement over scruples, the Bible says, yeah, you can disagree. You can disagree over whether or not meat offered to an idol can be eaten or not be eaten. You can disagree over whether or not this day should be observed or that day should not be observed. You can disagree over what is termed our cultural holidays. You can disagree. In fact, you can feel so strongly about those that to participate for you would be sin. Somebody else could look at the exact same day and for them, no issue at all. You too can be a completely different about that and you can disagree over it. But what you do next, the Bible says you receive one another, but not to doubtful disputations. You don't receive each other to dispute the positions. In fact, Romans chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 3 says you do not despise one another. The text goes on to say that you don't judge one another. Further, it says that every man is allowed to be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you have your Bibles, look at verse 5. That's what it says. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse number 10 of the text says this, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then verse 13 says, let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Can you disagree over scruples? Absolutely. But when you disagree, the actions you take next have to be consistent with what God says he allows in this area of disagreement. Verse 22 says, if you have one of these disagreements, keep it to yourself. If we observe verse 22, guess what we would never know? Hello? If we observe verse 22, guess what we would never know? We would never know we disagreed. Because the verse says, have thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Is it okay for you to do? Then do it. But I disagree. You'd never know it. Because I'm never telling you. The reason we find out in the first place is because somebody violates verse 22. Why isn't it sufficient for you to view it that way? Why isn't that good enough for you? But oh no, it's not good enough for you to view it that way. You need to tell somebody else why they should. And you violated verse 22. And before you know it, we're not receiving each other, we're disputing. And before you know it, we're judging one another. And before you know it, somebody's stumbling. You have every right in the world to disagree over days, this thing, that thing, and on the list goes. But after you disagree, God says you have a certain way you can act in light of that disagreement. That disagreement does not mean you're angry. That disagreement doesn't mean you don't understand. That on it goes with regards to what we've already talked about. That's one area where you can disagree. But you can also disagree with the truth. You can disagree with the truth. The idea that somehow you can't disagree. You can. People do. They disagree with Jesus, and he is the truth. I am the way, the truth. He is. They disagree with him. There is such a thing as truth. John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to those disciples, those Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. But they disagreed with the truth. Jews and Gentiles, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth shall set themselves array against the Lord and against his anointed, Psalm 2. They disagreed with God. They disagreed with Jesus. They disagreed with the apostles. They called them before the courts. By what name? By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? You plan to bring that man's blood upon our heads? They disagreed. But there's an action you need to take when you disagree with the truth, and that action is you repent. Matthew 21, 23 to 32, the Pharisees come to Jesus asking him about his authority. He said, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or men? He said, if you tell me, then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. They went away. They said, if we say of men, he'll say. Well, he said, they said, if we say of heaven, then he'll say, why didn't you believe it? But if we say of men, then we fear the people, because they held John to be a prophet. And so they came back to Jesus and lied. And they said, we cannot tell. Jesus said, then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. He then gave a parable about two sons. One was told to go work in the vineyard. He said, I will not go. The other was told, go work in the vineyard. He said, I go, sir, but he didn't go. The one who said, I won't go, repented himself and went. Jesus then asked, "Well, when the sinners and publicans heard God's word, they repented. Why didn't you? They will go into the kingdom before you, because they repented." The proper attitude to take when you disagree with the truth is to repent. That's the attitude, and that's the action. The consequences for not doing that is that you'll be eternally lost. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Where I am, you cannot come. John 8, 24. Jesus also said, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The very one with whom you disagree will judge you in the last day. The options from the Lord are these: repent or perish. When you disagree with truth, that's the action to take. You come to the knowledge of truth and you repent. That's what God will have you do. The actions are not the same. When it comes to scruples, you're not even supposed to tell each other what the scruples are. You could disagree. When it comes to truth and you disagree with truth, you're supposed to repent. That's the action, not the same thing. But then thirdly, you can disagree with God's authority. Wherever God has placed authority, and he has placed authority in a lot of different entities, and you can disagree with that authority. But what you do next, the Bible says there are actions you have to take in light of that authority with which you now disagree. For instance, God demands that we act a certain way when we disagree with the government. Romans 13, 1 through 5, the Bible is going to say, be subject. Because the powers that be are ordered or ordained of God. And therefore, he says, resist not the power. He does not bear the sword in vain. Be subject, therefore, God will say. Do you disagree with the government? Well, a lot of people do. And what do you do after that? You're subject to it. Because that's the action God said, take. Can you disagree? Absolutely. Will you disagree? Probably. What do you do after you disagree? You don't overthrow the government. You're subject to it. That's what the Bible says. Can you disagree? Absolutely. You can disagree with the authority. God placed the authority there, and therefore you might disagree with it. What do you do next? What if you're a child? You disagree with your parents? You have a better way? You don't think they know what they're doing? You don't think they understand? You think if you could explain it better, then they'd get it? You think it's ignorance? You think they need more from me? You think they're mean? You think they're rude? You just disagree. What do you do? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth, which the Lord has given you. Can you disagree with your parents? Yep. Do you want to march back to your room stomping your feet, huffing and puffing? You do not. Do you want to slam the door? You do not. Do you want to get behind the door and curse your parents? You do not. Because all of that is very disagreeable to God. Because God placed the authority there. And what God says to children is, obey your parents. Love a question I was asked not long ago about a person who has a friend, and their parent has told them, well, I don't want you to hang around that person. I don't want you to be their friend, and you need to let that person go, and they can no longer be a part of your life. And then the children were asking, well, what do? You know how many answers there are to that? There's one. You know what it is? It's children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Mom and dad said, you loose that person, let them go, get your scissors and cut the strings. That's what you do. Mom said, I don't want you to be around that person. Dad said, well, hey, that person, this is not going to be able to be your friend. Well, you don't go in your room and start debating. You don't go to the message board and ask other people, now, what do you think? You don't go ask Dr. Spock, Oprah, Bill, Sue Kidd. You don't do that. No, what you do is you obey your parents. That's what you do. Amen. Amen, plant. Amen. Somebody else say, that's right. There's no options here. Can you disagree? Yeah. And then God said, you obey and you honor. Can you disagree if you're a wife with your husband? To ask is the answer. Of course she can disagree. Does she disagree on occasion? Of course. To ask is the answer. What does the Bible say? Why submit to your husbands? Peter says, obey your husbands. That's what the Bible says. You mean to tell me that a wife can't disagree? No, I didn't tell you she couldn't disagree. What I said was, there is no passage in the Bible that is going to say, now that you disagree, you don't have to submit. Now that you disagree, scrap that obedience. Now that you disagree, there's no Bible verse like that. Still amen, plant. Still amen. There's just no Bible like that. You know what that would be akin to? Is there a passage in the Bible that says to husbands, when you don't agree with your wife, you can stop loving them? Nobody? Nobody? Of course there's nothing like that in the Bible. And who would say to a man, well, as soon as you disagree with her, just cut off your love? Who would say to a man, as soon as you disagree, just don't cherish her no more. Just don't honor her no more. Who would think such a thing? For some reason, when it comes in the other direction, suddenly people lose the ability to reason properly. All bets are off. Well, if she disagrees, she ought to be able to say, if she disagrees, no, no, no. Brethren, no. You don't have a right to get outside of what God has said. Can you disagree with God's spiritual leaders? Yes, you can. In both covenants, people disagreed with God's spiritual leaders. In both covenants. I would reference you to Exodus chapter 16 and Numbers chapter 12 and Numbers chapter 16 just for a few examples. But I want you to read something with me in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 and verse 2, and notice what the Lord said. Because while it's not on any of my slides, I wish I had thought about it sufficiently to put it there, but I could say it just the same. It goes something like this. There is nothing that's been said with regards to these areas of where you can disagree that demands that the person in authority be the best they can be. We would like them to be. But what happens if the government is a bad government? What happens next? You know what Romans 13 still says? It says submit. It says that to bad governments. What if one has a terrible boss? What are you supposed to do? It'll still say submit. What if your husband is not as he ought to be? It'll still say submit. What if parents aren't what they ought to be to their children? It'll still say submit.
What if spiritual leaders aren't what they ought to be?
Look at Matthew 23 and listen to what the Lord says. Spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What does that mean? To sit in Moses' seat. Oh, I know. Moses was the leader in Israel. To sit in Moses' seat, then, is to be in authority. It's to have dominion. It's to have the rule over. Look at the very next verse. Since they sit in Moses' seat, all therefore whatsoever they bid you, circle the next word. What's it say in your Bible? What's it say in your Bible? Is there anybody reading the Bible? It says do. Wait a minute. Jesus is about to denounce the Pharisees like he's never denounced anybody else. He is about to spend the next 20 to 30 verses telling the people how terrible the Pharisees are. It won't take him long. The next two or three or four verses, he's going to start calling them hypocrites. And he won't probably end until he's done with the section. He's going to call them hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. He's going to say, they say and do not. He's going to say, they bind heavy burdens on men. They won't lift one of them with their finger. He's going to say, they make long prayers for pretense. They don't mean it. He's going to say, they look like whited sepulchers. They are good looking on the outside, but inside, full of dead man's bones. He's going to say, they go into widows' houses and rob them and pillage them. He's going to say all that. But he began by saying, since they sit in Moses' seat, where'd they get that authority? Where's that authority come from? Since they sit in Moses' seat, all therefore they bid you do. There is not a person in this room or under the sound of my voice recorded who is going to be able to tell God, I judged that they didn't act right. Therefore, since I disagreed, I was at liberty to behave in a way inconsistent with what you said. If you believe even spiritual leaders, the Bible's going to say, do and obey. God is going to disapprove of disagreement when that disagreement is with him. Do you have a right to disagree? Absolutely. But in those passages referenced, Moses tells the nation of Israel, why are you speaking against us? Who are we? God hears your murmurings. God hears your words. Your murmurings are not against us. They're against God. That's Moses' position. In Numbers chapter 12, when Miriam and Aaron, the Bible says, and friends, you should note this. Everybody should. Here's why. Everybody is in authority somewhere, which means every one of us is in this dual position of being over and under at the same time. And every time you find yourself under, you have to make sure that your behavior is consistent with what God demands when you are under someone else. And so, children, let me implore you that even if your parents don't find out, please don't be in your room cursing your parents. Even if your parents don't learn about it, if they're unaware of it, please don't be run, because to run parents down, to speak against parents is to speak against God. In fact, Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1, opens that chapter by saying something akin to this. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Now, the rest of that chapter actually doesn't say anything about that woman. There's no mention of her whatsoever. What the verse says, though, is they spoke against Moses. Later in that chapter, verses 6 through 8, when God comes to Miriam, Aaron, and Moses, one of the things that God says is, with regards to Moses, he's not like other people. God says, I speak to him face to face. But then God asks this question. How were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Pause. please, long enough to let that wash over you. He didn't say they assaulted Moses. He didn't say that. He didn't say they physically did anything violent toward Moses. He didn't say that. What God said is, you spoke against Moses. And since God put Moses there, you spoke against me. You spoke against. God's question is this: how are you not afraid? Children should be afraid to speak against their parents. Wives should be afraid to speak against their husbands. Members should be afraid to speak against elders. Oh, it's not the person. No, it's not the people who occupy the space. It's the one who authorized it and who's ultimately being represented. You and I can't overthrow government because God ordered government. You and I can't overthrow parents because God put parents in place. You and I can't overthrow the organization of the Lord's church because God did that. When you and I speak against it, God's question to Miriam and answer ought to have every one of us concerned about when we are under, what are we doing? When we are under, what are we saying? It ought to be a very conscious, thought-provoking thing to speak against that which God has organized and God has authorized. In fact, his question to them is, how weren't you afraid? Exodus 21:17 talks about children cursing their parents. It doesn't say to their face. Doesn't say that. You get behind closed doors and start running down mom and dad, you ought to have some very real caution about that. You get overwhelmed with yourself and start running them down, you ought to be very conscious about it. Listen, you ought to be afraid of doing that. Just for the record, and just so we say it, you do know Miriam got leprosy out of that. Last time I checked, leprosy unhealed kills. What do you think God's trying to tell Miriam and Aaron about this occasion? I doubt there were many more times in their lives they spoke against Moses. I pray you and I will respect what God has. America and God are almost every time on some different levels. Every time. And you and I can be so convinced and convicted by our present culture that we think it okay, because in this culture you have a right to share your mind, speak your piece. Girl, let them know. Boy, you better tell them. We just go on. We ought to be afraid. God's going to disagree with us if we disagree with him. Well, we talked about some very practical things this evening in dealing with disagreement. I hope on some level it was helpful and beneficial to you and to your life. We will disagree. We must behave the way in which God would have us to in the areas when we disagree. But you know what another way of living is? Why not make for peace? Just because you have an opinion don't mean it has to be shared. Just because you have a disagreement doesn't mean it has to be voiced. Why not make for peace? You know, the world would be a much better place if Christians, you and I, light the world in such a place that they see in us peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. When you and I enter spaces, when you and I are around, there should be peace prevailing, because we, like our Savior, are peacemakers. Not a Christian tonight, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repent of your sins. Confess his name and be immersed in water and let Jesus save you. Oh, let Jesus save you before it's eternally too late. You know, apart from the blood of Christ, you are absolutely in disagreement with God. And friends, you need the blood of Jesus to wash away your sin and make you part of God's family. Who can have that? Anybody. Whosoever will, God says, let him come. There's nothing keeping you from your Savior but your heart and disposition of mind. If you want Jesus, Jesus wants you. If you are his child and you've lived in a way that's not pleasing to him, friends, please Be mindful of what God says our lives are to be. They're different than the world. We can disagree. Chances are good we will disagree. Doesn't mean we're angry. But we have got to behave in a way after that disagreement consistent with God's revelation and His character. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.